Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we continue our Nothing Will series through the book of Romans, and today's teaching is entitled Fruitful Faith. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Enjoy, be empowered, and be blessed.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 as we continue our journey through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin our reading in verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Well, today I'm going to speak to you a message entitled Fruitful Faith. Fruitful Faith. What do I mean by fruitful faith? When you think about fruit and how it grows, you understand it doesn't suddenly appear in a mature state, but it undergoes a process of growth. Faith grows in like manner, and every difficult experience in life, it serves to aid in or expedite the growth of our faith. So fruitful faith is faith that grows under adversity. Say that with me. Fruitful faith is faith that grows under adversity. Fruitful faith is also faith that produces what God has promised. And that is the ultimate indicator that we are in faith, that we are believing God, that we are holding firm to what God has promised when our faith produces what we believe God for. So fruitful faith, one, it grows. Two, it enables us to walk through difficult and challenging times. And three, it produces what God has promised. In Romans 5, Paul introduces a concept of faith that can be difficult to understand and even more difficult to receive or accept. Because that concept is that the suffering we go through as Christians is somehow beneficial to us. And that concept even teaches that we should embrace the things that we go through as the will of God. Now, this type of thinking is not popular among many believers, especially those who've been taught that as followers of Jesus, life should be a bed of roses. I remember when I first got saved, and I was green as a gourd, and we'd go out in the streets, and we'd witness to the people, and, you know, I'd say, just give your life to the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. And we know that it is. But what I was what I meant at the time, I've come to understand that it really was not true. Making someone believe that when they give their life to Jesus, their problems all of a sudden disappear is unscriptural. So we understand that we do overcome by the blood of Jesus. We understand that we are more than conquerors. We are victorious because of the blood of Jesus. But we also understand that the things we go through help to shape us and make us who God wants us to be. This type of thinking is not popular when you believe that when you just come into the body of Christ, that everything is going to be good. I don't know what your walk with Jesus has been like, but I tell you, my walk has been challenging, but at the same time, fulfilling. Yes. Challenging, yet fulfilling. And I discovered that I actually grow closer to God during those hard times, especially when I stay in faith. Yes. Stay in faith. What do you mean by stay in faith? Just believe God. Don't blame God. Don't blame God for what you're going through. Don't criticize others or blame others for what you're going through. But stay in faith, knowing that no matter what I'm going through, God, you're producing something in me. And this faith that you put in me will be fruitful. It will produce what you promised. Your faith in God is one of the most precious commodities you have, because when faced with difficult times, your faith gives you something to hold on to. Your faith gives you, or it gives substance, or it adds substance to your hope, even in suffering. You know, in our second service last Sunday, the word of the Lord came forth that God wanted to give us more. Leanne said it this morning. And she wasn't in our second service last Sunday. God wants to give us more. That word was then followed by another word that said, we gain the more through the things we suffer for Christ. That through suffering, we gain great access to what God has promised. Therefore, we understand and we accept that God allows us to go through things that are difficult because he knows that they're beneficial to us, or they're to our benefit that we go through these things. God is at work in all things. Say that with me. God is at work in all things. Do you believe that? God is at work in all things, including those difficult things, to transform us into his image and into his character. What do you think about that? He's at work in all things, even those things that are difficult, to transform us into his image and to develop in us his character. You know, I could have titled this message, Suffering Servants. But if I had it, most of you would have turned me off immediately. Because we don't like to think about suffering. Yet Hebrews 5:8-9 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So the qualifications that Jesus received from God was the result of what he suffered for us. You get that? the qualification that he received from God, you are qualified as a high priest of all of mankind. Well, the result of what he suffered for us. Out of his suffering grew obedience. Obedience that God also calls us to. As we go through life, as you go through life, it is good for you to remember that God is faithful. Everyone say that God is faithful. God is faithful. You must remember and hold on to the faithfulness of God. You must remember that God is faithful. Because if you simply look at what's happening in and around you, if you look at what you see, if you go by what you feel and what you know in this world, you can become discouraged. Therefore, you must remember that God is faithful no matter what is going on in your life. Faith in God creates a balanced perspective that we need to have in life, because the reality is there's two sides to our Christian life, or our Christian life seems to be sort of a two-sided life. On the one hand, we know that we are complete in Christ. We're complete in Christ. We know that our acceptance by God is made secure through Jesus. But on the other hand, we're still growing in Christ. How can we be complete and growing at the same time? We're becoming more and more like him every day as we walk this life out. And our being made in his image comes with a price. Being transformed into God's likeness comes with difficulties. Glory be to God. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, as Jesse would say. The Bible tells us that we are kings and priests. The same Bible tells us that we're to be slaves to Christ. Have you learned how to be both a king and a slave? Have you learned how to balance that perspective of your walk with God? We're to be both. We're kingly, we're priestly, yet at the same time, we're servants. We're slaves. We serve him. But Sister Anita, out of that humble servanthood, God grants us priestly and kingly anointing. When you become a slave, you are qualified by God to be a king and a priest in his kingdom. God's word promises us blessings. This same word lets us know that there will be troubling times. In this world we live in, we feel the embrace in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in this same world, we feel the pressure of temptation and sin. How do we balance the two? We enjoy peace that comes from being made right with God. But at the same time, we have to deal with situations that comes to rob us of that peace. Remembering both sides of our Christian walk helps us to not be discouraged when problems come our way. Amen. Because you must serve as a slave does not mean you're not king. You're not priest. You must remember that. Because you must face difficult times does not mean God is not with you. For Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, he's with us no matter what we're going through, no matter what's going on in our lives. And I found that we're best able to navigate life's challenges when we learn to depend on the power of God that is in us by way of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. You can't live this kind of life on your own. You can't walk out this kind of faith on your own. You must lean on the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And allow him to give you what you need to walk through life. Paul writes in Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In these verses, Paul speaks of three things that faith does for us. One, it justifies us before God. Two, it gives us access into the grace of God. And three, it gives us peace, or it has made peace between us and God.
Amen.
And Paul writes about the peace we have with God. Then he goes into the difficulties we face in Christ. And in this, he's letting us know that what we face in this life should not rob us of our peace, neither should it take away what we know and believe about God.
Amen.
We now have peace with God does not mean that we will always have peaceful feelings. It does not mean that there will always be a calmness of spirit or that we'll be surrounded by tranquility. To have peace with God simply means we have been reconciled with him. To have peace with God means there is no longer hostility between us and God. To have peace with God means that sin no longer separates us from him. It means we've been made right with God. I love the way the Message Bible says it in Romans 5:1. It says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, you got to hear this, you got to get this. By entering through faith, how do we enter in? Through faith. And what does faith take us into? It takes us into what God has always wanted. Huh? Faith carries us into what God has always wanted to do for us. And Paul gives us two things here that God has always wanted to do for us. He wanted to set us right with him and make us fit for him. And Paul said, we have it all together with God because of Jesus. So what is it that God has always wanted to do for us? He's always wanted to set us right with him. And he's always wanted to make us fit for him. You got to get that. And how do we get there? By entering through faith. This is God's plan. This is what God has always wanted to do for you. Fruitful faith brings us into what God has always wanted to do for us. Examples. God has always wanted us to be with him. He never wanted us separated from him. God has always wanted us to enjoy him. What, Pastor? Yes, enjoy him. He's not some taskmaster. He's not some cruel, uncaring God who watches your every move to judge you. He wants to do right with you. He wants to do good for you. He wants us to enjoy him, enjoy his presence. I mean, I've had a lot of great moments in life, but nothing compares to those moments when I'm intimately connected with God.
Amen.
Nothing compares to that. God has always wanted us to live a life of health. Everyone say health.
Health.
Wealth.
Wealth.
And peace. Miss Ness, God has always wanted us to live a life of health, wealth, and peace. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. The Bible says that Jesus became poor that we may be rich. That's the life God wants for you. The Bible says that Jesus not only gives us peace, he is our peace. God has always wanted us to be right with him and fit for him. And by his grace, he made a way for us to have both. God has always wanted us to live a life that brings him glory. And he made a way for us to have that kind of life. But with that life, sometimes comes difficulties and challenges. But in the midst of even challenges and difficulties, Paul teaches that we're to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, because our hope is not in ourselves, but our hope is in God's plan. And please hear me. The hope that God gives is not founded on mere optimism or even wishful thinking. But our hope in God has for its foundation a confident expectation, because it is based on the established certainty that God is faithful. Biblical hope rests on God's promises. Promises so certain that New Testament language speaks of future events in past tense as though they were already accomplished. So this is what we learned last week. Remember what we saw last week? In Romans 4:17, Paul spoke about the incomparable, immeasurable power of God when he said, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
Come on.
God calls the future into the present. He declared to Abraham, Abraham, you will be the father of many nations, when Abraham was yet without child.
Come on. Amen.
That is the hope God has called us to. A hope not inferior to faith, but hope that is an extension of our faith. Do not see your hope as being inferior to your faith. They work together. Faith gives substance to the things that we hope for. But hope is confidence in the grace of God producing what God has promised. Faith, especially when it is fruitful, causes us to triumph when we stay in hope. It causes us to be victorious, even when the things we face have the potential to destroy us.
Yeah.
Romans 5:3 says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. I can hear you say, I don't know about that one, Pastor. Some of you looking at me like, I wish I had a rock. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does.
Come on. Amen.
I didn't say this. The Bible says this.
Amen.
We also glory in tribulation. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're not ready to glory in your tribulation. What I think should help you be okay with this is the knowledge of the benefits you receive when your faith is tested. God doesn't test your faith just to make you go through stuff. God allows your faith, or God does not allow your faith to be tested. God allows your faith to be tested because there are things that he wants to give you that you must walk through certain things to have. When you understand the benefit, you become okay with the testing. But if all you know, if all you focus on is the testing, you will not be okay with that. Because all you see is something that's going to make life hard for you. When God is trying to put you in position to give you more than what you have right now. You got to understand the benefit. There's a benefit to everything we go through for God. Amen. Romans 5, 3 and 5, 3 through 5. We also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So tribulations, the testing of your faith, the trial of your faith, it produces perseverance. And perseverance is defined as steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. That's what it means to persevere. Means you've got to, with difficulty, walk through something or endure something and do it in a steadfast manner, even though success is delayed. Even though attaining success becomes difficult. Perseverance is staying power, or it is endurance. It is produced through trials. And Paul says that perseverance produces character. And a better word for character is the word trustedness. It produces someone whom God can trust. It produces someone whom God can trust. Let me ask you two questions. Do you want to be trusted by God?
Amen.
Question, that's the first question. The second question is this. Can God trust you now? Can he trust you now? Can he trust you to do the right things with his stuff? Can he trust you to do the right things with his people? Can he trust you to do the right things with his son or his daughter that he's given to you as your spouse? Or do you resort to doing what you want to do?
Amen.
Can God trust you?
Amen.
What you go through produces a trustedness. When you faithfully endure difficult and hard times, it produces in you what it takes for God to see you as someone who is reliable, someone that he can trust. That is the benefit of your trials and difficulties. You got to understand why you're walking this stuff out. And Paul says that trustedness, that being someone who is reliable, produces hope. And here's the reason why. When we faithfully endure hardships for God, when you do it in faith, now I want you to go here with me for just a moment. You got to go here. I can't take you there. You got to go there with me, okay? And I'm telling you, but if you go there, you'll get this. Go here with me. When you faithfully endure hardships for God, faithfully, the hope of receiving what God has promised grows stronger in you. I can't make you believe that you got to accept that. It's the process. Tribulations produces steadfastness. Endurance. That endurance produces someone whom God can trust. And when you know that God can trust you, it produces hope in you that what God has said is going to happen. And that hope grows stronger. But for many Christians, especially here in the United States, suffering is not part of our plan. For many of us, we'll say, oh, God, you know what? I didn't sign up for that one. I signed up for the health. I signed up for the wealth. I signed up for the peace. I signed up for the joy. I signed up for the love. But God, I didn't sign up for that other stuff. You can keep that other stuff, God. But what we fail to understand is, without the other stuff, you can't have the good stuff.
That's right.
It's a package deal. It's a package deal. But for many Christians in America, suffering is not the rule, but it's the exception. Now, I seriously wonder how many Christians would rather deny their faith in Jesus than suffer for him. Ooh. How many Christians, how many born again, spirit-filled children of God would rather deny their faith than suffer for Christ? Paul is letting us know in these verses that we will face difficulties, but God is at work in the midst of them all to help us become. Everyone say become. Help us become who he wants us to be. But before we can become who God wants us to be, we must first overcome the things that bring suffering. All of our experiences, especially the difficult ones, help us become more like Christ. So we rejoice in suffering, not because we like pain. I don't like pain. I don't like to hurt. I don't like to feel pain. I don't want any of that stuff. If I get a headache, I want two Advils. Can you relate to me? We don't rejoice in suffering because we like pain. But we rejoice because we know God is using those difficult times to build his character in us. And fruitful faith carries us through those tribulations that God is at work in. It produces in us endurance. That endurance produces reliable servants of God. And when we are reliable, we have hope. And Paul says, that hope that's been produced through these things, that hope does not disappoint. doesn't disappoint. Because the Holy Spirit who has been given to us has poured out the love of God in our hearts. We have hope what God has promised he'll do because the Holy Spirit in us is evidence of God's love for us. The Holy Spirit is in us by way of God's grace. A grace so powerful that God sent his son to die for us when we was yet lost in our sins. When did Christ die for us? While we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. Paul concludes our text today with these words in Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love, his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In my own words, what Paul is saying here is that while we were still sinners, God sent Jesus to die for us. Not because we were good, but because he loved us. So whenever you feel uncertain about God's love for you, remember that he loved you even before you turned to him. He loved you as a sinner. And if God loved you in your sin and rebellion, he surely loves you now that you belong to him. God is for you. God is on your side. God wants you to succeed in things he's called you to. And in Jesus, he has set you right with him and made you fit for him. So do not let hard times cause you to question God's plans for your life or cause you to question God's love for your life as his child. But let your faith remain and become even more fruitful, and let that faith produce what God has promised that he will give you. That is fruitful faith.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you'd like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.